the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
You feeling it? Well, you look like you're feeling it. Marsha Gleit from Irvine, California.
That's my neighbor. So excited to be here.
I know, this is my neighbor, Brain. She's right up the road from me, okay? we were just talking about grounding ourselves and getting some of this electromagnetic field energy off of us because it has consumed us. If it's coming from the microwave, if it's coming from your device, if it's coming from your TV, it's just too much negative energy. And so we're going to change that. And she is going to come to us with a fresh approach about coaching from the heart. What does that mean, being heart-centered when it comes to business and giving a care about the people that you sit next to? It's a whole new world, Brains. And when you go back to your office, you're going to be looking at your neighbor with a side eye. But we want you to look at them with the side eye of love. Okay. So help me welcome her to the Edge, Marsha Gleit. Hi, baby. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you here with me. You know, just peace and harmony and love, just, you know, just some synergy, a good conversation, get away from all that other stuff, you know?
Yeah, but we can't forget about it. So we were just talking a little before, and it's like, we're going to change the world one smile at a time. Make your neighbor just smile, you know, because smiling and laughter, is that the best medicine?
It is. That and some music.
Oh, music is always good.
So we're here on the Edge, and we are going to talk about her great coaching company, Burgum Coaching, and it's in Irvine. And you are really coming up with a, you know, I wouldn't want to say a fresh approach, because I think that all coaches or people that work with corporations or individuals are really trying to bring out the best in them. But you really put an extra emphasis. You put some extra secret sauce on that. Tell us a little bit about your history and how you started this great company.
So I have a background, 30 years in finance and accounting. And I knew when I started out my career after college that accounting wasn't my thing. I couldn't sit and be alone with numbers all day. But when I found that my career, in all the ways it took all its tosses and turns and, you know, all of the struggles as a woman in corporate America with the glass ceiling, I ended up as a controller and back in accounting. And after 14 years, I could not do it anymore. And I said, you know what? I'm turning 50. I'm going to have a new, fresh approach to my career. And I have one career left in me. And I went through a process of, how do I figure that out? What do I want to do? And I took all the things that I loved about my job and all the things that I didn't love about my job, and I took it with a fresh set of eyes and said, what could I do? And coaching just kept coming up. Coaching. Because I love working with people. I love helping them find what excites them and where they need to be. And I had one thing that always kind of rocked people's business mindset, was that if the wrong people are doing the wrong jobs, it costs you more in productivity and efficiency and morale than it does to hire and train somebody new. And I always in business believe in the systems run the business, the people run the systems. So I'd rather be around a bunch of people that want to be there, love what they're doing, and then I didn't have to entertain them as much. That's what I started manager. It's like, well, I'm entertaining.
You don't have to entertain them. You don't have to discipline them. You know, and you're going to come up with some great innovative ideas because you give them the space to, you know, to, and the bandwidth to come to you with ideas and to be creative, that you're listening to them. You know, again, just like the world, people just want to be heard.
Oh, they do. They do. And what was interesting is when we took the switch from the baby boomers in the working world to millennials in the working world, that became so much more amplified, right? Because as a baby boomer, we equated success with the corner office, and the millennials don't want to be in an office.
No, they don't. And they don't. And it's so different. Their wants, their needs. They don't want the big house. They don't want the yard and the pool and all that. They want a tiny house and a little car.
A lot of travel.
A lot of travel. They want a lot of freedom. They want to be able to work remotely. Yeah. They want to work on sustainability. You know, they want to rewind the clock. They want us to go back to when simpler times.
Yeah.
So what is all of this kerfuffle that's going on in the world and COVID-19? What has it taught you about you, Marcia?
You know, it taught me, and it really has shown me that the world is a lot bigger than me. And what I mean by that is, you know, we all have our issues and our problems and our things that we really want to do that we just don't do, and causes that we want to affiliate ourselves with and we just don't do it because we get caught up in us. And when COVID-19 started and we started with the stay-at-home measures and we all had more time on our hands, I mean, everyone says, oh, we have less time on our hands, doing all of the, wearing all these hats, we're homeschooling, we're parenting, we're being, you know, mom and then working. We've also had more time and we're more productive. And I found that in time I want to do some good. Okay. And when I think about, and I talk a lot about self-care, we talked about this. And when I've been writing my book, so you know we talked about that.
Right.
And my book is all on self-care. And the more research I do on my book and the more I learn and the more just a matter of being more kind and more whole, that I can make a difference in ways that I didn't think I could make a difference before. Mm-hmm. And that's what all this has shown me. It takes every individual.
Right.
And protesting may not be my thing, but if it's your thing, I support that. Okay. Right. If, you know, if you don't want to wear a mask, I know that I'm going to wear one because I'm going to do what's best for the people around me. And I don't want to be around you if you're not wearing a mask. These are simple things.
I say this with all respect. I'm wearing the mask for me. Okay, because I can't help you if I can't take care of me.
That's exactly what you're focusing
on, and that's what your book is about, self-care. Give me a definition of what you mean by self-care.
So self-care to me is not a bubble bath and a massage. Okay.
No? Oh my God.
I know. So many people think of it and they go, oh, it's woo-woo, but it's not. It's more than that. It's your emotional health, it's your physical health, and it's your spiritual health. And April, people all the time say to me, well, I'm not spiritual, I'm not religious. And spirituality is not necessarily going to a house of worship. Now, it doesn't mean we don't respect the house of worship,
right?
Because if that's somebody else's you know, thing, then that's their thing, and prayer, but spirituality is about grateful and being kind and being thankful. Mm-hmm. And there is a universe in which we all live and are a part of, and we have to be respectful of that.
You do. And you know, when I think of self-care, I think of self-love.
Mm-hmm.
I think about protection,
yeah.
You know, boundaries, you know, about, you know, my thought process, how I think about things, how I engage with other people is a part of my self-care. Yes. Because I'm taking care of this whole body.
Yeah.
And everything is encapsulated in that. And when I step outside of that door, I'm now presenting that to the world.
Yes.
Yeah, to the person that, you know, drives by me on the highway, or the person that is an essential worker in the grocery store, or the CEO of a company or a world leader. But if I am not in touch with self, knowing who I am at any given moment, yeah, how to edit and filter that, how to resonate, how to turn it on and off. Because, you know, I'm going to be real honest with you, Marcia. You know,
good. I love your honesty.
Okay. But I'm not down with everything. And I hear people all the time talk about showing up as your authentic self. Sometimes you got to pull back on that. Because there are things that we don't like. There are things that we don't agree with. Don't force me. Okay. I'm not going to mess with you. I'm not going to bother you. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to tolerate. I think tolerance is absolutely a big step. Is a big step instead of acceptance. You want me to go from A to Z, and we haven't even touched K.
No, absolutely. And it's interesting because I just finished my chapter on silence last night. And sometimes it's better to be silent and then not speak your truth, because sometimes speaking your truth in a time and a place isn't appropriate. So we could be silenced, we could be authentic to ourselves, we can honor ourselves, but we don't have to get involved in somebody else's right. I mean, right?
Right. Well, yes and no, we can agree to disagree, because sometimes silence speaks volumes.
Yes.
That's the situation that I'm in right now. You know, I've had people during this whole situation that have not reached out to me. These are people that I hold near and dear, that I would go to no matter what, you know, and they haven't reached out. And I'm not going to go with the fact that I don't know what to say. Oh, you know what to say. Hello. I love you. I'm supporting you.
Yes.
Goodbye. And when they don't do that, It makes me second guess who they are. Now, again, like you said, maybe they just don't want to involve themselves, okay? But you don't have to involve yourself in the total situation, but you do have to show compassion and care to the people that lean on you, the people that trust you and support you. Yeah. And getting, you know, everybody's fight is not everybody's fight.
That's right.
You know, I support the people that clean the beach. I don't go clean them, but I write them a check. You know, you got to get in where you fit in. So now, how are you working this with individuals to prepare them to go back into the workforce, be it, you know, dealing with people remotely or actually being in a building? How are you helping them get their mind prepared for this? Because it's, you know, we got to go back eventually. And everybody's, again, looking at everybody with a side eye. They don't know if you got the corona, or they don't know what your underlying intentions are, how you really feel about them. How do we break through all of that and really address kindness? Because that's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. And the first thing with anything with coaching is the person that you're working with has to be willing to be open-minded and to understand that it's going to be hard work and there's going to take some change and some understanding and some, there's going to be some struggles, and we're going to have fun along the way. We're going to laugh, you know, because that's the best, I still believe that's the best medicine, but we're going to dig deep. And so there's really four pillars to what I do. And I always start with self-care, okay? How are you taking care of you? Are you taking care of all of you? Because that is going to, when you're putting yourself first, right? And everybody talks about putting your oxygen mask on first, right? But when you're feeling that you're your best self, you're better for everybody around you. And I believe that very strongly. I believe that self-care is selfish and that you need to do it and you need to put yourself first, because then you're better, you know, then, like I said, you're better for everybody around you. The second thing we do is I will look with you at the job that you're going back to, right? And we're going to look at how did you feel about that job before? How did you feel about it during? And how do you feel about it now that you have to actually go back to the office? And if this is a job that you love, then I'm all for you, go back. If it's a job that you don't love, then it's time to look deep into, is it the job or is it something that you need to take some responsibility for because you're not putting yourself in the best light in that job?
Right. Right. I agree.
And then determining whether or not you want to go back to that job, find a new job, and maybe it's time for you to take your voice and start a business. And
well, you can't take a leave of absence because you didn't use up all your medical time with the corona.
That's right. You got to go back, right? You can, no matter what you decide to do, you got to go back. But what I'm going to give you are the tools in which to make that job work for you while you're figuring out, is there another avenue for you? And that's what it's all about. And that's what I learned in my career is, if I was going to my job with my best self, I would be able to look at myself as to what I was doing in that job. And instead of maybe disliking it so much, I would have come at it with a different mindset. And that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. That's how I want to help.
Okay. So before we get to the third thing, though, people are bringing a lot of stuff with them to work and mm-hmm. to the office.
They are.
So, you know, when you're asking for people to look at their self-care, you're really asking them to do more than just their physical, their mental. I mean, they're talking about their family, their financial responsibilities, maybe there's medical issues. Yeah. You know, you're taking all of that in your briefcase with you when yes. you go to the job. And then when you sit there and you open it up, you're sharing it with everybody there. It's resonating from you. People can tell if you're happy or unhappy by the look on your face, how many times you dip out and go smoke a cigarette or go to the bathroom. You know, you're not paying attention in meetings. So all of that is a part of that self-care. So you've got to really work with somebody like Marcia to pull back the layers and address the things that you can change. You may not be able to change everything, but being able to accept it, being able to sit with it, to be able to nurture it, to identify and say, hey, you know what? This is my trigger. I'm not going here.
Right.
You know, or this is my trigger. Let me step back and go outside and walk around the building instead of lighting a cigarette. You know, all of these different types of things. So that's a part of examining the job, because a job is work. And yes. it doesn't have to be at the corporate building. You know, it's the work within ourselves, the job that we do for ourselves. So tell us what your third thing is that you do.
So the third thing I do is help you, once you define what it is you want, how do you implement that? How do we put together a plan? How do we start working towards the goal that we've set for ourselves? And the idea is almost like if you're climbing a mountain, right? If you start at the bottom of Mount Everest and you go, I'm going to go to the peak, right? That's a daunting, right? A daunting experience. But what they do is, right, they take you to the first summit. And when you get to that first summit, you look down and you go, wow, look how far I've gone. And now I've got that momentum to get to the second summit. And now I've done 2 and 3 and 4. And before you know it, you're at the top of the mountain and you've done it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I take my clients through. What is the top of the mountain and what's each of the little pieces, step by step by step, that's going to help you gain that momentum and help you grow and help you feel and love what you're doing. And it is loving your home and loving your work.
Right.
And loving ourselves. I mean,
climbed the Great Wall. Well, I went to some of the parts of the Great Wall of China. And when I got there, I didn't realize that it was 5,500 miles. I thought it was, you know, and I'm saying, wow, look at this. And then I looked at each step and how it was worn. And I looked at each step, how there was a number that was stamped on it. And I looked at the thousands of people from all over the world representing their flag, their color, their beliefs in one unified wall together. Yeah. And as I climbed and climbed and tried to catch my breath, I was like, wow. But when I reached the top and I could overlook everything, I felt such a sense of accomplishment. I set that goal at the bottom. And when I reached the top, I was so fulfilled. I'm warming up inside when I recant those memories.
Yeah.
So implementation and setting goals are huge. And thank you for that. That's going to be huge, brains. And what is number four?
So number four is really just owning that feeling, mm-hmm. like you just talked about, of accomplishment.
Yep.
How do we own it? How do you learn to say, I matter, I did this for me, and it doesn't matter what everybody else is saying? How do you drown that out? And how do you say no to the other things that are getting in the way? And that's what I help you do.
Well, you know, ownership, you got to put on big girl and big boy panties. Maybe guys wear drawers, I don't know, boxers.
Yeah. But as long as they wear something, April. As long as they wear something.
Exactly. But again, sitting with that and taking responsibility. And that's what I ask, you know, my friends in this current situation. They'll call me and they say, what do I do?
That's right.
I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm going to ask you to look in the mirror and ask yourself, what have I done?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What have I done? How have I played a role in anything, in any of this? Not wearing a mask or saying something inappropriate to somebody, or being mean, or, you know, bullying somebody, you know, denying someone an opportunity to advance in their career. Look in the mirror and ask yourself those questions.
Yeah.
Okay. And don't beat yourself up, but make corrective action. Because the Reverend Al Sharpton taught me something a long time ago. He said, baby, he said, the mirror is not only for reflection, but it's also a place for you to make corrections.
Oh, I love that.
And I'll never forget that. And when I look in the mirror, you know, and I'm adjusting this necklace that keeps turning around, or, you know, straightening my glasses, whatever, I am making a correction to make myself better.
Yeah.
And being grateful, you know, and acknowledging that gratitude and paying it forward to somebody else, asking questions, being open, being honest, that you can keep your boundaries. You don't have to just be, you know, just out there willy-nilly. I'm a great person. I love boundaries. I love to give folks their space. I don't have no problem with that. But when I trust you, or when I look to you, or when I expect something from you, if you can't deliver, be honest. But don't betray me. Betrayal mm-hmm. is worse than anything, because it hardens that person's heart, and then it's just a ripple effect.
No, it is.
You
absolutely
know? And for you to step back in a world of finance, and I know you was making big cheese, okay? And you were counting money for everybody else and making decisions for them, for you to step back and say, you know what? This is really not my calling right now. This is not where I'm fulfilled. What I want to do is I want to color in the white spaces for other people, and I want to teach them some self-care and to examine their job and to implement those things and have some ownership. I commend you. I really do, because that takes a lot. You could be doing a whole lot more right now. You could be, you know, and I don't know what your coin is, but I'm sure you could be making a whole lot more doing that than you were doing coaching. But sometimes it's more than a dollar amount.
Yeah.
You know, to be fulfilled. If you do what you really want to do in your life, you know, your pockets will stay full.
That's right.
You know?
I totally agree with that.
So tell my brains a little bit about the coaching and what's going to be inside the pages of this book. I'm excited.
So my book is 30 Days to a Healthier, Wealthier You. And really, I take them through a journey of starting, what is it you want to do? How do we get to where you want to do that? And then there's every day is a new self-care practice that you can practice. So we start with something as easy as taking a breath, stopping during the day and take a big deep breath. It makes you calm and clears your head, and laughter, and why laughter is important, and how do we healthy eating and hydration. So I go through all of the different things that and by the end of the book, you know, you could take what you want, you could do the exercises you want, but the idea is to create that plan for you and how it'll make you feel. And when you're taking care of you, you're better for everyone around you. You're going to be healthier, wealthier, and more successful in the world.
Yes,
and you're going to love yourself.
You are. You're going to love yourself. And then you can't love anybody else until you love yourself.
Exactly.
So, let me ask you some random questions.
All right.
Marcia, if you had 3 wishes, what would they be?
Wow. Well, right now, you know, peace, health, and happiness.
Peace, health, and happiness. And maybe a slice of chocolate cake.
You know it. Never turn down a slice of chocolate cake.
Exactly. Who pours into you? Who do you look to renew your strength and your commitment to humanity and to keep you balanced?
Well, you know, it's my partner in life. My husband, we've been married 32 years. We've known each other since we were 16 years old. He's my best friend. He's my rock. And he's my biggest supporter. And he also is the one who sets boundaries.
Yep.
You know, and reminds me every day what it means to have love and have family in your life.
So what would you tell a younger version of Marcia if you were sitting right across from her today?
Well, you know, I would tell her the things that I learned at this time in my life. I want her to start practicing at a younger age, and and again, it comes back to self-care and to love yourself and be aware of who you are being in the world. And we need to do a lot more thinking from the heart than we do from our intellect and our brain. And now that I've learned that, I see how much of a more gracious and a more just a more fulfilling life that I've been able to live.
Well, you know, I think that your cup is runneth over, because I can feel your passion. I can feel your love is just oozing out of your rosy red cheeks.
Thank you.
And it's so important that, again, we start with self. We cannot change the world if we're still jacked up.
Yeah.
You know, and we have all these expectations of others, but what we need to do is define an expectation for ourselves. And that's good, bad, or indifferent. You have to take it all, brains. You got to suck it all up. You know, sometimes when you get to the bottom of that milkshake and there's no more milkshake, it's just air, you know, and you're mad. You know, well, then you have to go and fill your cup up again with something different. And I'm so glad that you're here with me in this time. You've comforted me. You make me feel good. You've made me smile.
Yep.
And I'm so glad that you're here on the edge. And I want people to run out and get your book when it's ready. Tell us a little bit about that and how to get in contact with you. Because you know what? You don't need, right now, a coach that's going to try to get you 6 figures, or a coach that's going to try to help you build your business, or a coach that's going to try to, you know, rebrand you. What you need is love.
Yeah.
Right there.
So they can reach me on my website. It's www.virgincoaching.com. You can schedule, I do a free consultation, a complimentary strategy session. And, you know, what I really want to do today for anybody who schedules a strategy session with me and then decides to go forward and work with me in one of my programs, I'm going to donate 20% of my fees to the charity of their choice.
Wow. Wow. Do you hear that, Brains? Okay. That can be anything.
Yeah.
That can be anything. No, I take that back. It needs to be the right thing, and it needs to be in alignment with Marsha. And that, and I'm asking that of my Brains. Don't be coming to her with no crazy stuff. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, but it has to be important, and she's willing to pay it forward from the get-go.
Yeah.
So call her up, you know, talk to her, get engaged, have that conversation on a deeper level. You don't know what you don't know.
That's right. You don't.
So you got to get caught up in your feelings. Right now is the best time before you go back to the office with them other folks. And you know what? What you're learning is going to be infectious. It's going to be contagious. And it's just going to exude out of you. And people are going to go, wow, why are you looking so good? You know, did that time off did you well?
So
you
know? Like, give me some of that. Give me some of that milkshake you're drinking, right?
Exactly. And so, again, share, love, be as kind as you can. Be cautious. Be aware of yourself. Don't wait for somebody to correct you. Correct yourself. You know right from wrong, grown folks. Teach your kids to be decent human beings. Be kind to everyone. You know?
Pick up some children. Watch everything we're doing. They see it all.
I know. I get nervous. My daughter, when she was 7 years old, we were driving in the car, and she put her little hands on her hips, and she looked at me, and she says, Mommy, I watch every single thing you do. Well, that made me sit up straight, because now I know that somebody's watching.
That's right.
Somebody's always watching.
They're watching.
I'm so glad that you're watching with me here on The Edge. You're awesome sauce, Marsha Gleick.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been great.
Yeah. So, you know, come back. I do some podcast potlucks. You know, your voice inflection is just so good and just so soothing. I got goosebumps. I'm going to get you with some other people, and we are going to not turn the frequency up, but we're going to turn it down.
Yeah.
So mellow out, you know, without alcohol, without drugs, just with good conversation and just love and the frequency of love. Maybe the smell of some good non-choppa burning in the background.
That's right.
Age, you know.
But we're going to lavender.
Exactly. We're going to get it right. Thank you so much for being here on The Edge with me. Brains, I'm counting on you now. I want you to go and subscribe to everything on the planet. You know, raise those numbers. YouTube is going through the roof. I got the watch party. Marsha is going to be in the watch party so people can see this over and over again all over the world. I thank you. 62,000 in 40 countries. This is not your average podcast. I'm not here for sloppy seconds. I delete those people. I keep the elite. I keep the thought leaders, the influencers, and the game changers, the people that care about one another, the ones that are going to give a handout and a hand up. That's what we have on The Edge. Thank you, Marsha.
Thank you.